Okay, it's good to see everybody. Welcome to our evening or morning class, depending on where you are, or mid-afternoon class. And so, one thing is that we finished the Nectar Devotion during our last class. So, we're going to do a vote. Oops, someone sent me a chat message. All glories and assembled Vaishnavas. We're going to do a vote to see which book we want to go on to next. But first, we're going to chant Jai Radha Madhava. So it's because we believe in democracy. We're going to actually vote to see what we're going to do next. And first, we'll chant. Jai Radha Madhava. Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Malaba Kiri Varadhauti Gopi Jana Malaba Kiri Varadhauti Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Manachari Yamuna Tira Manachari Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Malaba Kiri Varadhauri Gopi Jana Malaba Kiri Varadhauri Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunja Bihari Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Paravitakacharya All Still Teta Satishri Shimad His Divine Grace Abhaya Chananada Bhaktivedanta Gosami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Shri Das Thakur Gijai Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shibasati Gaur Bhaktivedanta Gijai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Govindagopada Shyam Kund Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Gijai Vrindavanam Gijai Mathuranam Gijai Jagannath Swami Gijai Yamunamai Gijai Shrimati Lasi Devi Gajai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Gajai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Gaur. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Gajai, Dama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Pristaya Bhutale, Shrimati Bhakta Vedanta Swamiti Namani. Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pachani, Nibhisesa, Sinyavadi, Pashyata Devi, Acharni. So, Om Aganati Vedanda Shagaran Jana Shlakaya Chakshur Miditam Yena Tasmai Shigurveda Maha. I offer my respectful obeisances under the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, who has so kindly saved me from the ocean of nescience while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance and enlightened me with a torchlight of knowledge. Okay, so as I mentioned, we're going to take a vote now to see which book we're going to go to. So I'm just getting the poll together, which book, and I'll send it and you'll be able to answer on the screen. Should to next. Alright. What's the next one? Let's see. NOI, which is the nectar of instruction. And one more. It's Upanishad. Oops. Alright, so you're going to have three choices. So, these are the books. You can do, okay, let's do Teachings of Lord Chaitanya as an option, since that's a real simple one. That's a really nice book, too. It's a summary study of the Chaitanya Charitamrita teachings. Okay, whoops, let's make this. Let's make it an anonymous poll, because I don't want anyone feeling bad about what they voted for. Okay, we'll wait 1 second. Let me put the poll up. And you all have about a half minute to answer the questions. Just can pick one of them. Oh. Okay, it's it. The close race. No, it's not a close race. Still have another 40% of the people who can answer. 35%. Everybody should answer. Just go on your screen and just push one. Some people are just shy of voting, I guess. Don't worry, in this election, there's no cheating. It's not that, you know, we're Republicans or Democrats or anything like that. Still, I have 18 out of 26 people voting, or 27 people vote. Actually, 26, because I'm not going to vote. Come on, everybody vote. You don't have to be over 21 to vote. Be any age. Okay, we're up to 74%. We're getting there. Getting there. Oh my God, it's a close race. Don't vote twice. I saw someone who was on the internet twice. No, Radha Padma, you have to vote for one thing. You just press the voting button. You can't vote. You can't vote by text message. You have to press the voting button. All right. We got 5 more people left to vote. Okay, the polls are closing in a few minutes. Polls are closing. And fake news and cheating at the polls. All right. 22 out of 27. There's still 4 of you. Actually, 5 of you who are too shy to vote. You won't get your voice heard. All right. So, oh my God. So, actually, 41%, all right, let's end the polling right now. And I'll show you the results. You can all see the results. This is fair. I did not cheat on this one. So 41% picked Chaitanya Charitamrita, 14% picked Nectar of Instruction, 23% picked Isopanishad, and 23% picked the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So I guess we're not going to have a runoff, don't worry, because no one won the majority. So I guess it's Chaitanya Charitamrita. Wow, that is so long that we'll be doing it for the next lifetime. Okay, that's what everybody wants. That's the majority. You can't say that I wasn't fair to everybody. So now we'll start with the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Hold on a second. I'm definitely not autocratic. Nobody could accuse me of being autocratic. Okay, let me set this up with the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We're not going to do the introduction. We're going to start with chapter one. This is pretty ecstatic. I hate to say it, or I like to say it. It's pretty ecstatic to go through the Chaitanya Charitamrita like this. And this is the one book that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur relished more than any other book. It's described in the final years of his pastimes on the earth planet. He would just like regularly just pick up the Chaitanya, even though he knew all the stories, the whole philosophy backwards and forwards, he would regularly pick up the Chaitanya Charitamrita and just read it, for just taking solace in the words of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is the postgraduate study of Krishna consciousness. Postgraduate study of Krishna consciousness. So when we read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, first we got to share the screen. When we read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we always chant, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Very, very nice. Okay. So, let's see who's with us today. Oh, Praneshra is with us. He just got married. I want everyone to congratulate him. You can actually send a message on the message thing. Congratulate Praneshra for getting married today. I had to sit through his marriage for 5 hours today, in front of my computer, but it was in India. He got married at Govardhan, which is really auspicious. Really auspicious. Got married at Govardhan, and at the tail of Govardhan, in the Sri Nakshi Temple. And it's a very beautiful marriage. Many people were there, and they got the blessings of Giriraj and the blessings of all the Vaishnavas there, so. Now he is happily married. And then also yesterday we had another marriage too. This is, I guess, the marriage season right now. Adi Purush and Alita Sundari got married. And that was, their parents were here. But actually it was an engagement, but they had the legal marriage too. So it was very blissful. The parents really appreciated it. In the beginning, the parents were real nervous that they were going to get married so quickly, or that he was going to marry an American, because his family's from India. But he was determined. I don't know if he's online right now. Maybe not. I think he's on his honeymoon right now, so he's not able to watch. So anyway, so he was determined. He was determined, and his wife was determined, and the parents really appreciated it. And afterwards, the parents said to me, whatever you want, we will do. So they even surrendered to me after the marriage, which is pretty good. Oh, he's on Jagat's computer. So the parents are now going to be initiated next. So, That would be kind of nice. And also, we had some initiations, and some of the devotees who took initiation are online with us today. Let's see, I thought I saw one devotee online. Radha Smarna, I think she's online. I think I saw her. Yeah, she's online. Radha Smarna is online. She just took initiation. What a nice name. And some other new devotees joining us. Deepika, and I think that's the mother of Manshu. Okay, anyway, so I think we got some new people here. So we had a really amazing Tulsi Shaligram Viva. If you want to see it, I think I'm going to upload it to my YouTube tonight, hopefully. Okay, so with that in mind, let's go on to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is really ecstatic. Actually, I was hoping that we would pick the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And let me share the screen with all of you. Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. So, of course, the Chaitanya Charitamrita starts with the chapter called The Spiritual Master. So, for those of you just joining us for the first time, as I actually read and then stop a little bit and comment, but I put everything on the screen so the devotees can read along with me, which is really nice. And I think it's big enough so even people with mobile phones can read along. So, here we go. Chapter 1, The Spiritual Masters. This is ecstatic. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than the combined form of Sri Radha and Krishna. He is the life of those devotees who strictly follow in the footsteps of Srila Rupa Goswami. Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatana Goswami are the two principal followers of Srila Swarupa Damodar Goswami, who acted as the most confidential servitor of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, known as Vishwambar in his early days. A direct disciple of Srila Rupa Goswami was Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. The author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishnadas Goswami, stands as the direct disciple of Srila Rupa Goswami and Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. He wasn't initiated by those two personalities, but they are his Siksha Gurus. And the story is, which we're going to hear about in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that he left home at a very old age because his brother was actually offensive towards Lord Nityananda. And when he got to Vrindavan, he was like 80 years old, and he describes in himself in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that he was practically blind and practically, you know, just like very, very old and not able to do so much. Yet he was able to write this voluminous work, which is full of poetry and Sanskrit verses and amazing pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And one of the reasons that he was able to write about these amazing pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is because he associated with Srila Rupa Goswami and particularly with Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami resided on the banks of the Radhakund, actually, to be more precise, Shamakund. And it's so interesting that on the banks of the Shamakund, there's this ghat called the Manasa Bhavana Ghat, through which, the gopis used to bathe in Shamakund. And at that ghat, there's a pilu tree. And that pilu tree is an incarnation of a Brahmin from Kashi who wanted to serve Radha and Krishna, and he took birth as a pilu tree. And that pilu tree was utilized by the gopis when they went bathing in Shamakund to hang their clothes. And so that pilu tree, being a spiritual personality, was fully conscious. It's not that like an unconscious tree like we have here, like pine trees or other types of trees. But the pilu tree was fully conscious and able to talk to the devotees. Wow. And particularly Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, who we're going to hear about in a second, had conversations with the personality of the pilu tree. And she, Raghunath Das Goswami, lived there too. And Srila Raghunath Das Goswami also could commune with that pilu tree. In addition, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, amongst all the Goswamis of Vrindavan, spent more time with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri than any of the other Goswamis. And so he was able to relate a lot of the ultimate, or what we call, let me just make sure the volume is up properly on this. Let me turn it off a little bit. He was able to relate many of the ultimate or final pastimes. Let me check the audio settings for a second. Yeah. He was able to relate a lot of the ultimate or final pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he was with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for such a long period of time. And so when Raghunath Das Goswami first went to Vrindavan, and as I said, he was residing on the banks of the Radhakund, he had the intention of committing suicide, jumping off of Govardhan Hill, because he was feeling so much separation from Lord Mahaprabhu. So the other Goswamis convinced him that instead of committing suicide, he should just recite the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the author of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which we're reading right now, was able to hear those pastimes directly from the lips of Raghunath Das Goswami. So that's why we have so much information in this literature. So the direct disciple of Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was Srila Narottamadas Thakur, who accepted Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti as his servitor. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur accepted Srila Jagannath Das Babaji, the spiritual master of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Now you're going to notice here that there's large gaps of time between these particular individuals. And we're not talking about direct disciples because many of them were not present at the same time as their disciples or as their spiritual master. Now, these are Siksha links. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur makes it very clear that our sampradaya is primarily a Siksha sampradaya. And Prabhupada is making that very clear in this description. Because these great personalities were not necessarily on the planet at the same time. You know, certainly not Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Anyway, so keep this in mind. You know, Prabhupada is making this point, and it's a very important point. And also it relates to our situation where we can directly take shelter of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Not take initiation from him if he hadn't taken initiation when he was on the planet. But we can directly take shelter, and he's our inspiration. The spiritual master of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who in turn accepted Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, the spiritual master of Om Vishnupad, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, the divine master of our humble self, and of course that's Prabhupada. Since we belong to this chain of disciplic succession from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this edition of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita will contain nothing newly manufactured by our tiny brains, but only remnants of food originally eaten by the Lord Himself. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not belong to the mundane plane of the three qualitative modes, because that's goodness, passion, and ignorance. He belongs to the transcendental plane beyond the reach of the imperfect sense perception of a living being. Even the most erudite mundane scholar cannot approach the transcendental plane unless he submits himself to transcendental sound with a receptive mood. For in that mood only can one realize the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What will be described herein, therefore, has nothing to do with the experimental thoughts created by the speculative habits of inert minds. That is actually quite an expression, a mouthful. Experimental means, you know, you just experimenting with things, and you think you're a professor, just like Prabhupada would sometimes comment that scientists would say, well, we're looking for the truth, or we're experimenting, and Prabhupada said that then you shouldn't call yourself a scientist. Experimental thoughts, you know, is it this way, is it that way, by the speculative habits of inert minds, minds that don't move beyond matter. Okay. Of course, it's not that their minds are just like completely inactive, but they're inactive insofar, or inert insofar as spirituality is concerned. The subject matter of this book is not a mental concoction, but a factual spiritual experience that one can realize only by accepting the line of disciplic succession described above. Any deviation from that line will bewilder the reader's understanding of the mystery of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is the transcendental literature meant for the postgraduate study of one who has realized all the Vedic literatures, such as the Upanishads, Vedanta Sutra, and natural commentaries such as Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Oh, so has everyone realized those? By Prabhupada's mercy, we're able to get this postgraduate study without having like fully realized all these other literatures. And actually, the Srimad Bhagavatam is a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, and the Vedanta Sutra is a commentary on the Upanishads, and the Bhagavad Gita is actually considered like one of the Upanishads. It's called the Gita Upanishad. This edition of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is presented for the study of sincere scholars who are seeking, really seeking the absolute truth. It is not the arrogant scholarship of a mental speculator, but a sincere effort to serve the order of a superior authority whose service is the life and soul of this humble effort. It does not deviate even slightly from the revealed scriptures, and therefore anyone who follows in the disciplic line will be able to realize the essence of this book simply by the method of oral reception. In other words, if you just hear, realization will be there, as Krishna says in the Gita. Remember the nutshell verses? Adami Buddhiyogam Tam Yenamam Upayantite Tesham Satadiyutanam Bhajatam Pratipurvakam. Adami Buddhiyogam Tam Yenamam Upayantite. To those who are dedicated to me, I give them the understanding, the Buddhi Yoga, the intelligence by which they can come to me. And I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shiny lamp of knowledge the ignorance. The first chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita begins with 14 Sanskrit verses that describe the absolute truth. Then the next three Sanskrit verses describe the three principal deities of Vrindavan, namely Sri Radha Madan Mohan, Sri Govindadev, and Sri Radha Gopinathji. Actually, these three deities represent the three stages of devotional service. Sambandha, that is, understanding the relationship between all the Lord's energies and the Lord himself. Then Abhideya, engaging oneself in Krishna's service. That's Govinda. Govinda means the Krishna who pleases the senses or engages the senses. And finally, Radha Gopinathji, that represents, or the worship of Radha Gopinathji, represents Prayojana, or the ultimate goal of devotional service, which is pure devotional service, going back to home, back to Godhead. The first of the 14 verses is a symbolic representation of the Supreme Truth, and the entire first chapter is an actuality devoted to this single verse which describes Lord Chaitanya in his six different transcendental expansions. Very important. The first manifestation described is the... is the spiritual master who appears in two plenary parts called the initiating spiritual master and instructing spiritual master. Prabhupada is everyone's instructing spiritual master, and also our initiating spiritual master is our spiritual master. They are also instructing. Yeah. They are identical because both of them are phenomenal manifestations of the Supreme Truth. This is really interesting. So actually the prerequisite to be a spiritual master, or to be either a spiritual master who is a Siksha Guru or a spiritual master who is a Diksha Guru, Diksha means initiating, is actually the same. And some people argue that it's of a lower, adhikar, or it's not the same requisites that are there for someone to be a Siksha Guru, and therefore they try to discriminate against certain people because they're either born in a certain country or have a certain gender or whatever like that. But actually, Siksha Guru and Diksha Guru are equal but different manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and both require the same qualities. Now, there are other types of gurus that don't require that particular same quality. And one type is the Vartma Pradarshika Guru. And what is the Vartma Pradarshika Guru? One who shows us the path. Just like before I joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement, one taxi driver gave me a Krishna book. So in one sense, he was my Vartma Pradarshika Guru, but he's not qualified in the sense of being a Shiksha or a Diksha Guru. It's a little bit different. Or Dhruva Maharaj's mother, she was qualified as a Vartma Pradarshika Guru, but she wasn't qualified to be his Diksha Guru or Shiksha Guru because she didn't have the knowledge. But one who has the knowledge, Kiva Vipra Kivanyashi Shudrakena Noye Krishna Tatvaveta Se Guru Hoy, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, it doesn't matter whether one is a Shudra or a Sannyasi or a learned scholar. If one knows the science of Krishna, realizes the science of Krishna, that person to be Siksha Guru or Diksha Guru. Equal qualities required for either one. Next described are the devotees, who are divided into two classes, namely the apprentices and the graduates. These are the people who just start the university and those who have their degree in Krishna consciousness. Next are the incarnations, avatars of the Lord, who are explained to be non-different from the Lord. These incarnations are considered in three divisions: incarnations of the potency of the Lord, incarnations of his qualities, and incarnations of his authority. In this connection, Lord Sri Krishna's direct manifestations and his manifestations for transcendental pastimes are discussed. Next considered are the potencies of the Lord, are which three principal manifestations are described. The consorts, here we're talking about internal potencies, the consorts in the kingdom of God, Vaikuntha, the queens of Dwarkadham, and the highest of all, the damsels of Brajadama, that's the gopis. Finally, there's the Supreme Lord himself, who is the fountainhead of all these manifestations. It's a little introduction, but it's really important to read it. Lord Sri Krishna and his plenary expansions are all in the category of the Lord himself, the energetic absolute truth, whereas his devotees, his eternal associates, are his energies. The energies and energetic are fundamentally one, but since their functions are differently exhibited, they are simultaneously different also. I'm going to explain that in a second. Thus, the absolute truth is manifested in diversity in one unit. This philosophical truth, which is pursuant to the Vedanta Sutras called the Chinchabeda Veda Tattva, or the conception of simultaneous oneness and difference. I'll explain that. In the latter portion of this chapter, the transcendental position of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and that of Srila Nityananda Prabhu are described with reference to the above theistic facts. Okay. So, let me make reference to a Bhagavad Gita verse, Mami Vamsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sadatana. Of course, there's a second part, Manasakshtadi and Jriyani Prakriti Stani Karshati. But the first part is the part that's important as far as this discussion is concerned. Mami Vamsa Jiva Loke. So, we are part and parcel of Krishna. So what does that mean, part and parcel? Why are these terms used? Well, just like there's parts of the body. And the example Prabhupada uses often is what? The hand. The hand is part of the body. So you can use that part. But there's also parcel, because the parcel means it has its identity at the same time. It's not interchangeable, at least if you have a material body. Spiritual body is something different. But at least if you have a material body, the hand is not interchangeable with other parts of the body. I mean, you can't interchange it with your feet unless you're a monkey. Then you can interchange your hand with your feet. But we're not monkeys, hopefully. So that's what part and parcel means. So it's the same thing with Chincha Beta Abeda Tattva. So we are part of Krishna, but we have our separate identity too. We have the same nature as Krishna, the same qualities as Krishna. Another example is the drop of water in the ocean. Drop of water in the ocean, or you take the drop of water out of the ocean. If you analyze it, if the water in the ocean was completely homogeneous, you know, they homogenized the water in the ocean, like they do with milk. If it was completely homogeneous, then the drop would have, if you analyze the drop, it would have in the same proportion the same constituent elements and compounds and other things too that the whole ocean has. So that's us. So we're different because we're that drop, we're tiny, and Krishna's big, but basically we have the same qualities as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So anyway, and we're persons, and we're individual, and we're eternally persons. Nicho, nicho, nam, chetanas, chetanam. And actually there's verses in the Gita that verify that fact too. So achintya beta beta tattva means that we have this oneness with Krishna, one in the same nature, one of the we're part of Krishna, but we also have our separate identity simultaneously. And the word achintya means it's inconceivable unless you're a devotee. This achintya beta beta tattva, understanding that concept is impossible unless you're actually Krishna conscious. And now we'll go further into this concept as we go through the Chaitanya Charitamrita, what achintya beta beta tattva means. It's a very important concept for us that everything, and you can also use that concept to deal with Krishna's material energy. It belongs to Krishna. One sense, you can say, you know, everything is Krishna, but another sense, everything is different from Krishna. Like the example is, one sense you could take the sunshine and say it's the same as the sun. But another sense it's different. I mean, we say, for example, when you open the curtains, let the sun in. But you're not really letting the sun into your house. Because if you let the sun into your house, you wouldn't have a house anymore. You wouldn't have a you anymore. You would be not even cremated. There wouldn't be any ashes left. Wouldn't be any earth left. Anyway, so this is brief explanation of the Achintya Beta Beta Tattva. Let's go on. Here's text one. Vande Gurum Nishabhaktan Nisham Nishavatarakan Tat Prakasham Chatach Chukti Krishna Chaitanya Sangyakam. Maybe we'll just do the translation instead of doing that word by word, which you can check later on. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the spiritual masters, the devotees of the Lord's incarnations, his plenary portions, his energies, and the primeval Lord himself, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. So these are the different topics dealt with in this chapter, as Prabhupada mentioned. Spiritual masters, devotees in general, Krishna's incarnations, Krishna's plenary portions, Krishna's energies, by Krishna Shakti Vinod. Krishna Shakti Parabhakta, Shetrakya, Tatapara, Vidyakama Sanganya, Trithya Vishati Yashate, which are actually, I divide into three, the spiritual energy, material energy, and the jiva soul, and the primeval Lord himself, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Wow. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. We talk about Krishna, Krishna expands himself, versus Baladev, and then he goes through the Prajuna, Sankarsana, Prajuna, and Aniruddha, and then there's the second, what we call Chaturvyuha expansion, Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Prajuna, Aniruddha. But Lord Chaitanya is not an expansion of Krishna, he is fully 100% Krishna. And we'll hear the reason for Lord Chaitanya's appearance as we go through the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Here we go. And those of you who are joining us for the full time, we usually go to about 5:50 p.m., which is a different time for everybody, and we take questions at that point. So, Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Saho Sahodatao Gododaya Pushpavantao Chitro Shandao Tamonudao. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, for like the sun and the moon, they have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Gauda to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. This is very poetic. And Gauda, of course, means West Bengal. And Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda is directly Balaram. Balaram Bhoila Nitai. And you need Lord Nityananda's mercy to approach Lord Chaitanya. In fact, The process of approaching Lord Chaitanya is, first of all, you approach Lord Nityananda through one spiritual master, and then you approach, when you approach Lord Nityananda in that way, you become free from anarthas and unwanted things like lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy. And then you can approach Lord Chaitanya to come to the ecstatic platform, and then you become qualified to approach the six Goswamis of Vrindavan to understand the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna, which is the pinnacle of understanding. So the next verse, text 3. Yadadvaitam brahmopanishyati yatadapyasya tanuba yatmantaryami purusham shavivavaha sadaishvarya purno yahiha bhagavan sa swayam hayam nachitanya krishna jagati para tatvam param hiha. What the Upanishads describe as the impersonal Brahman is but the effulgence of his body, and the Lord is known as the Supersoul, is but his localized plenary portion. Lord Chaitanya is the supreme personality of Godhead himself, full with six opulences. He is the absolute truth, and no other truth is greater than or equal to him. So the impersonal Brahman, just a little description here, is not actually impersonal. The realization of the impersonal Brahman is the impersonal realization. But Brahman is composed of little jiva souls who are floating around, who wanted to merge into the light of the Lord. So it's like little fireflies, the jiva souls, because all the jiva souls have this like effulgence. We're all very effulgent, but right now our effulgence is covered by the molds of nature, so we are dark. Or maybe not so dark, but if we're in the mode of ignorance, we get really dark. Just like I've seen people who associate with the mode of ignorance, or people who associate with people in the mode of ignorance, their eyes appear like dark. They appear covered, like a piece of mud, basically. Mud with eyes in, or protozoa or something. So anyway, and people who associate with passion or with those with or who are people in passion, their eyes are just like, anyway, very passionate. And those who are in goodness, they are peaceful. So anyway, so people become covered by these modes of nature. Avritam Gyanamaitena. So anyway, so this impersonal Brahman is something that people just want to enter into it, and they float around, and they're very bright because they're not covered by the modes of nature. And so that's the effulgence of Krishna's body. And the Paramatma is described next, the Lord known as Super Soul, everyone's heart. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God. He has all six opulences, like all wealth, strength, enunciation, fame, intelligence, like that. So, there's no one greater than him. Mata parataram nanya kinchid asti dananjaya. Text 4. Anarpita charam chadat kurunya vatirnatala samarpayatum unatodjvala rasam swabhakti shriham hari purata sundara jyoti adamba sandhi pataka sadagriya khandres puratava sachinandanaha. May the Supreme Lord, who is known as the son of Shrimati Sachidevi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost chambers of your heart, resplendent with the radiance of molten gold. He has appeared in the age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation has ever offered before, the most sublime and radiant mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. Now, why is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu golden, molten gold? Because he is Gauranga. Well, of course, that's describing Lord Chaitanya by what he is. That's a tautology. The reason I'm mentioning Gauranga is because Radharani is known as Gaurangi, the golden lady. And so Lord Chaitanya is golden because he's in the same mood as Srimati Radharani. And being in the same mood as Srimati Radharani, he is merciful, whereas Krishna is merciful to a certain extent if you surrender to him, as described in the Bhagavad Gita. But there's a limit to his mercy. And if you want to have unlimited mercy, you have to have Krishna become a little bit more, a lot more sentimental and soft-hearted. So when he appears as Radharani, then he's super soft-hearted in the mood of Radharani. So see, the mood of Radharani. That's why the residents of Vrindavan are always chanting, Radhe, Radhe, Jai, Shri, Radhe, 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 Jai, Shri, Radhe. So chanting Gauranga is the same thing as chanting Radhe, Radhe. Remember that. It's the same thing as chanting Radhe, Radhe, because Gauranga is Krishna in the mood of Radharani, and he becomes more merciful being in that mood. And he describes the most sublime and radiant mellow. Mellow means rus, okay? Rus means mellow. It means taste, okay? For those of you who don't know. It means the devotional service, the taste of conjugal love, the relationship between Radha and Krishna, the highest understanding of love of God. Okay. Next text. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikriti Ladini Shaktirasma Likatmana Vapi Bhuvi Pura Deha Bedam Gato Tau Chaitanya Kyam Prakatam Adunata Dvayam Chakyam Aptam Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Sarupam. The loving affairs of Sri Radha and Krishna are transcendental manifestations of the Lord's internal pleasure-giving potency. Although Radha and Krishna are one in their identity, they separated themselves eternally. So in other words, there's no particular time that Krishna just decided. And this is also a chinjabeta beta tattva. They're one and also different simultaneously. Krishna is the energy and Radharani is the Krishna is the energetic and Radharani is the energy. Krishna is the Shaktimam and Radharani is the Shakti. You can't separate the two, like you can't separate the sun and the sunshine. It's not that first there was the sun and then there was no sunshine. And there's no question of first or last or second or third when you're talking about Krishna, because Krishna is beyond time, Radharani is beyond time. Generally, we think of everything in terms of time, in terms of cause and effect, whereas it's stated in the Brahma Samhita, Sarva Karana Karana. Krishna is the cause of all causes because there's no cause of Krishna, and Krishna is not there in material time. He's outside of material time. So without time, everything is eternally existing. And even there's no meaning to the word eternal. Because it's eternal, actually, is taken as the opposite of temporary. So in the spiritual world, everything is ever existing. And there's no duality. There's no ever existing versus temporarily existing. Now, these two identities, transcendental entities, begin united in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I bow down to him. But remember, even though Lord Chaitanya is Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani, you still have Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, who is Srimati Radharani, along with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Panchatattva. So it's one; it's still one and different simultaneously. When you talk about them united, they're not the same person. They're still different. But Lord Chaitanya is Krishna in the mood of Radharani. He's not Radharani. He's in the mood of Radharani. I bow down to him who has manifested himself with a sentiment. Here, this is the point. Sentiment and complexion of Srimati Radharani, although he is Krishna himself, so one and different simultaneously. So at this point, this is very blissful. I'm very happy you all chose Chaitanya Charitamrita because I'm in ecstasy. So, all right, so let's end here and we'll take some questions from our very faithful devotees here. Hold on a second, let me take you off of mute so you can voluntarily unmute yourselves. This is really an amazing thing. I'm so happy you picked the Chaitanya Charitamrita. You are all blessed for picking it. I was thinking I wanted to go something simpler, but this is too ecstatic. Okay, so who has some questions? You have to, anyone who wants to ask a question, you have to unmute yourselves. You don't have to raise your hand. This is not a classroom. Whoever is first to unmute themselves gets to ask the question. Nalini Kant, you always have a question. I haven't heard from you in several weeks.
Gurudev.
Oh, yeah, Praneshra, congratulations. You still have the red dot, your bindi on your forehead. So.
Yeah, but actually, my question is Gurudev from yesterday class.
Yeah.
In which it is like, you know, in the lecture, it's said about relationship and the marriage life is based on the commitment, vows. So how to maintain and how to like when the lady said about, yeah, we are the least intelligent, so we can do some error. So what would be the appropriate answer for them?
Of a lady said wow, you're getting into muddy water here, Prabhu. So you say if a lady says, I am less intelligent, so I can do things that is that your question?
Yes.
Anyone who thinks they're less intelligent, that's an excuse. First of all, as far as being less intelligent, that depends on whether you want to be less intelligent. There's no question of someone being less intelligent because they're a man or a woman or because they're Indian or Westerner or Chinese or whatever like that. It's not, you know, intelligence. Krishna says the Dami Buddhi Yogam Tam, Yena Mamubiyantite. What does he say? He says, I give according to your devotion. Another thing. Yayatamam Prabhajante Tam Sataiva Bhajamiham Mamavartmanavartante Manushapartha Sarvasha. Krishna's reciprocating with everybody. So you can choose to be less intelligent. It's just an excuse. You know, I can also say I was born in the darkness of ignorance, so that's why I'm such a rascal. But you've gotten the mercy of a devotee, a pure devotee. You've taken an initiation. And by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, a blind man can see, a dog can swim in the ocean. Or like that, you understand? Or a layman can walk. So even if you are less intelligent, and I'm not going to address that, you know, everybody has excuses about things. That's another point I wanted to talk about. You know, someone who's addicted to alcohol says, I have to drink because I'm an addict. You know, so like, you know, you have so many excuses for rascal behavior. But every one of us is a spirit soul, a human being at least. I mean, yeah, animals are a little bit different. I'm not going to blame an animal for acting stupid. If the dog does something stupid, like pass urine at the wrong place, then I don't consider the dog to be a sinful rascal. You know, that's dog's business. But human beings have the ability, who are mature human beings, have the ability to discriminate. And it's not that people are less intelligent because they're a particular gender, a particular nationality. By becoming Krishna conscious. I mean, just like a birth in India is a very high birth. But a birth in the West generally is a very low birth. But, you know, it really doesn't matter when one becomes Krishna conscious. It really doesn't matter. And what does intelligence mean anyway? Does any, whoops. Intelligence means, to turn off your phone during the class, intelligence means the ability to discriminate according to your plans in life. Okay, so if my plans are to make money, then I'll discriminate based on that particular idea. That's intelligence. That's intelligence in the mode of passion. Or my intelligence, or my plan is to get liberated from this material world in the mode of goodness, then I'll make plans based on that. Or if my intelligence is based on Krishna consciousness, I'll make plans on how to please Krishna, my spiritual master. So in every... Let me turn up my phone. Anyway. So everybody has the ability to discriminate without making excuses. Just say, why did you get angry at me? Here's sometimes. Why did you get angry, Prabhu? Because I'm hungry. I can think of a million and one excuses for being a rascal, because I used to use all those excuses before I joined the Hare Krishna movement. Just like even with Prabhupada. Prabhupada would sometimes chastise a devotee. He said, why did you do this? He would chastise the devotee. The devotee would say, I guess I'm just in Maya. And Prabhupada get angry because of that excuse. Prabhupada wanted the person to do something about it. So we have the ability. We're human beings. You have the ability to choose whether you're man, woman, child, maybe not baby. Babies don't have the ability to choose. But if you're over 8 years old, you generally have, unless you're brain dead, then you have the ability to choose between right and wrong. So, yes. And so one should make promises and vows and stick to them. Like Grandfather Bhishma. We always use that example at marriages. Grandfather Bhishma, and so many, Arjuna. Arjuna made a promise in the battle of Kurukshetra about Jayadrath. He said, I'm going to kill Jayadrath today. And if I don't kill him today, I'm going to go into the fire. And Arjuna was like that. He was ready to enter into the fire. So that's human. Actually, Prabhupada said, if someone can't keep the promises, then it's not human anymore. Or they're lower. Mam duskritena muda prabhajantena radama. We should be dhritavrata. Anyway, so I don't accept excuses. It's just that someone should be honest. I decided to do this. If you're honest, you just say, like, I'm choosing because, I'm struggling right now, and you're honest with it. I'm struggling right now, and please help me, asking for help. And someone may say, someone was raised here, someone raised the question that people sometimes their consciousness is colored by abuse, and that's natural. So then they ask for help. How can I overcome? At least one should understand when they have impediments and say that I need help in overcoming this and asking for help. But not simply saying it's impossible. You listening, Praneshara? Prabhupada didn't like the word impossible. Impossible, Prabhupada said, is a word in a fool's dictionary. We can do anything if Krishna wants us to do it. If Prabhupada wants, then we can do anything. Like, we can save the universe if Prabhupada wants. The success potency of the Supreme Lord is built in within the order of the spiritual master. And Prabhupada exhibited that perfectly by taking the order of his spiritual master on his head and look at his success. Okay? Anyway, congratulations, Praneshara. Hope you go to Govardhan on your honeymoon. That would be good. Yeah, for your honeymoon, you can circumambulate Govardhan. Chant 108 rounds. Oh my God, what a honeymoon. So, all right, so who else has a question? We have time for another question or two. Question, comments, arguments. Now's your opportunity. Nalini Kant, I'll call on you. What's your question?
Hare Krishna Gurudev, Dandavat Pranam. Sorry, I'm unable to attend Zoom classes, but I watch them each and every class afterwards, after work.
That's nice.
Yeah. Or in between. And thank you very much, Gurudev. Gurudev, because of the time pressure, I might get patient anytime. So I mean, I have questions, written it down, and sometimes I will email. Sometimes I'm scared, like so many questions are accumulated. Gurudev, just wanted to share one realization, which I just had after seeing the last patient. I'm in a psychiatric clinic today. So how modes of material nature work on someone. So this particular person, he spent 18 years in jail out of 48 years and grew up where mother passed away when he was very little. And he was among 10 other siblings and grew up in Cook Island. Where everything was just slap and beating. If he makes one mistake, that means slap and beating. And that's how he grew up.
Horrible.
And then he...
Horrible.
Alcohol and drugs by age 7 or 8 and moved school to school, beating other students and then finally giving up everything and joined the gang for 10 years. And he actually said it, that he has been looking for love and he never received it.
Yes.
Still going through problem. And he's doing really well in terms of some study, some paperwork and construction job now. But because of he's unable to get any love from anybody, including his partner, he's still going back to the same phase. So that was kind of a realization. Modes and no association can actually damage anybody.
Yeah. So the question, the question is that Krishna consciousness can actually help with such a situation like that. When we're talking about people having the ability to choose, actually, if they're just in the modes of nature, they're forced to act. And they are controlled to a large extent, as Krishna says in the Gita. But when one has the opportunity to take the spiritual life, particularly Krishna consciousness or transcendental path, then one can rise above the modes of nature. And at that particular juncture, make choices and overcome one's natural or conditioned impulses.
That's good.
So the solution is Krishna consciousness. Of course, you can't start preaching Krishna consciousness to every one of your patients.
I was thinking about it, but then I just prayed in my mind, please engage this soul in Krishna consciousness, that as we do it in like book distribution, I couldn't speak it. I can't advise him.
So just pray for him.
Yes.
Pray for him, Gauranga. Actually, we have one of my disciples is a social worker in the UK, and she just gets all of her clients to say Gauranga.
Oh, wow. Nice.
And in this way, you know, they get enlivened. And she sent me a message the other day with all the people she approached over a period of 3 days. It was like several hundred people she got to say Gauranga. She even walks up to the... to the police, they're called bobbies in the UK, and she just walks right up to the police and says, "Say Gauranga, it'll change your life." And they're so shocked, they say, "Okay, Gauranga." She has practically her whole city, which is close to Manchester. Everybody knows about Gauranga. Very nice, Gauranga Balite Habi Pulaka Shavir. So anyway, so Krishna consciousness, if people if people have Krishna consciousness, it's brain giving. So even if there is some deficiency because of something that happened in the past, the Krishna consciousness will enable them to overcome that deficiency. All right?
Yes, thank you, Gurudev.
Okay, who else has just one more quick question we'll take from many great personalities here? Okay, no questions. Now is the time. Okay, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. Nobody has a question.
Hare Krishna, Gurudev.
Blessings,
all glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah, my blessings. So you have a question.
Yes, Gurudev, this is so nice that you've again enlightened us that worshipping Nityananda Prabhu first before worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we get the mercy of Guru. So with your mercy, like the Guru's mercy, then when we are worshipping, for example, bathing Gaur Nithai, then we should be bathing Nityananda first and then bathing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?
No, either one first. I think what pleases Lord Chaitanya is when Nityananda's bathed and what pleases Lord Nityananda is when Chaitanya's bathed. It's like Radha and Krishna. You know what? What pleases Radharani is when Krishna is pleased nicely.
Mm.
When Radharani is pleased nicely, yeah. Or it's like Radha Kund and Shyama Kund. It's very interesting that the gopis, they bathe generally in Shyama Kund more than Radha Kund.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but and we actually see that devotees, they tend to favor Radha Kund over Shyama Kund, but the gopis favor.
Yes, yeah.
So anyway, I think you bathe both at the same time or bathe one or the other. I wouldn't worry about it. But you know, they're two brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And as it's stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you should not worship one without the other. Mm. It's like Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says, like half a hen logic.
Mm.
Which requires the chicken to lay the golden egg. You can't have part of the chicken, you got to take the whole chicken for the golden egg. And he says it's better to be an atheist than to worship one and neglect the other.
Mm.
Better not to believe in God at all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have to end. So generally, it's 6:10 our time. So thank you very much. It's nice having a lot of people and some new people joining us tonight. And tomorrow we'll continue with the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And it's really blissful to read it. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.